So in the e-news about today, I mentioned that our theme for the month of March is balance. Made it pretty clear today. Something I suggested that we might think of in static terms, like a scale, for example, two sides having reached equal weights, when in fact it may be more useful to imagine balance in our lives, more like walking a beam or a tightrope, a constant shifting and responding to elements that would otherwise unsettle us. We can imagine the number of things that would knock us off course, but for a good dose of steadiness and centering. We can imagine our tender hearts being wounded and in need of some capacity to heal. I wondered as I was thinking about these things how our tradition equips us to find balance in our lives, to keep finding balance so that our hearts can remain open. I love the idea and also watching Amanda bring her pipe into the sanctuary this morning and show us what it looks like to effortlessly dance her way back and forth across the pipe when we know it's not really effortless at all. As Amanda reminded us, staying balanced actually requires constant attention and a lot of work. And in our conversation, she made it clear that the acrobats she admires the most have enormous range of motion with their upper bodies because their circles of balance are so tight, so small, and so strong. It made me wonder if this faith, which often feels so open and wide, equips us with a sufficiently strong circle of focus for ourselves. This isn't a new question necessarily. Any faith worth its salt deserves to be questioned and tested, or gets tested and questioned whether it deserves it or not. While meandering through some thoughts over the past few weeks, I got a call from a colleague, a Unitarian Universalist minister, who has recently started serving a federated church, which means it is not singularly Unitarian Universalist, but a blend of Unitarian Universalist, United Church of Christ, and American Baptist, actually. Their website offers that they are, quote, gathered in the spirit of Jesus, committed to creating heaven on earth, close quote. It's a lovely thought, actually. My colleague expressed enormous relief at now serving a congregation where she can comfortably reference God and where she can offer a prayer without having to figure out how to say to whom or to what it is being offered, or even if it's really a prayer. It used to be so hard, she exclaimed, trying to find words that would work for some and not offend others. And now I just say, dear God, and pray. I could feel her relief, and I could understand it. I appreciate her call to that theology, even as I'm aware that it is not a call that works for me, and perhaps not a theology that serves many among us. But it begs the question of what balance, what centering this tradition does offer us in lieu of that kind of certainty. Did you know, or are you familiar with something called the Ames Covenant and the fact that this church followed the Ames Covenant for much of its existence? Charles Gordon Ames offered this promise for congregational life in 1880. And a lot of Unitarian Universalist churches used it, primarily probably Unitarian churches, but used it for quite a long time. And many still do. In the freedom of truth and in the spirit of Jesus Christ, we unite for the worship of God and the service of humankind. I actually found a placard up in the balcony that has the Ames Covenant posted on it. It was probably on one of these walls at some point in the life of this church. The second half of the 20th century, however, saw our Unitarian Universalist churches growing beyond that covenant to a large degree, exploring elements of humanism and Eastern traditions that made room for perspectives other than Christian ones, for paths other than the Jesus path, perspectives other than theological ones even. We welcome now many beliefs and no beliefs. Every Sunday, we invite you to bring your perspectives, your beliefs and doubts, and your unique identities to this community. So as we wend our way towards the middle of the 21st century, it is useful to consider how we are challenged to find balance in our lives in this evolving faith as it continues. I am stunned, absolutely stunned, to think in 2 years it will be 2020. How did that happen? I've probably mentioned to a few of you that my early forays into Unitarian Universalism involved a trip to the library. I found one book on the subject at the Newton Free Library. I don't know whether their collection has grown any, but it was called The Wind in Both Ears. It was perverse published in 1965, written by the Reverend Angus MacLean, who was a colleague, actually, of Reverend David Park, who is a member here at this church. I was anxious to learn more about this tradition that I had only recently discovered, and this book seemed a really good place to start, and it became, for me, a brilliant and challenging introduction to this faith. Religion without the adventure of becoming, Reverend MacLean wrote, is a poor business. The adventure of becoming, I thought, how exciting would that be? I love the invitation to this journey of discovery. He spoke not of a path to certainty or answers, but of what felt like an encouragement to a kind of dance and a discovering of my own center in the process, my own soul, which is, by the way, the invitation of this tradition that in the company of others, you might discover yourself. My father sent me up from the root cellar, MacLean writes, to see about the wind. Was there a steady breeze? He wanted to know. Yes, there was. Now face it, he said, so that when the wind sings in both your ears, then tell me where your nose points to. Can you imagine? Or do you remember engaging first with this sense of freedom in this faith? This twirling into discovering one's true direction, knowing, of course, that like the wind, it may shift a bit over time. So we keep turning, we keep dancing, we keep looking for that elusive balance. I love the metaphor and the invitation. It is a rich journey we are invited on, this becoming. Even if sometimes, just sometimes, we might wonder if we are spinning endlessly to no end. Do you ever feel that? I confess there is a part of me that envies the relief that my colleague felt, even as I know her solution doesn't quite fit for me. The sense of envy reminds me that it's not easy to practice such an open-ended faith as ours. Sometimes it feels like it is demanding more of me than I have energy or patience for. Paul Raiser, who is a Unitarian Universalist scholar, in his book Faith Without Certainty, writes, "Liberal theology is not for the faint of heart. It points us in a general direction without telling us the specific destination. It refuses to make our commitment for us, but holds us accountable for the commitments we make. It calls us to strength without rigidity, conviction without ideology, openness without laziness. It asks us to pay attention." This is hard work. Like Amanda on the pole, it may look easy. And life is already challenging, isn't it? And then I read Rebecca Parker, and I'm reminded of what I love about and what keeps my heart open to this dance. We hold that this world, this life, these bodies are the dwelling place of the sacred. That for whatever time we grace this earth, our tradition is clear that the ultimate is present here and now and can be grasped and experienced, even if only partially, within this limited frame of our mortal existence. I remember then what I value so much about this open road that we are invited to journey on together, and why it is the only path I could choose, because it grounds me to a circle of balance in the right here and the right now, in my responsibility to the present and to myself and to each of you, with as open a heart as possible, so that I can stretch and reach and turn and dance more broadly than I would otherwise be able. So that I can stretch and reach forward to the future with greater perspective and more appreciation for difference than I would otherwise be able. I can, in that strong legacy of curiosity and questioning, I can reach out to the myriad paths of wisdom and well-being, and I am so grateful for that. This balance is a curious thing. We wonder, what is the right amount of worry to expend on something when we know worry can't change things anyway? How do we balance the need to feel safe in the world, even as we know that a life with no risk is hardly worth living, if even possible? What is the balance between that which we think of as sacred and that which we think of as secular, and how much they each absorb our time? And really, is there a difference? How much of our lives, of our religion, do we lead with our head, and how much with our hearts? We have long been a church and a tradition of the open mind. I don't know how many of you shared with our children in their years. We are the church of the open mind, the helping hands, the loving heart. Through much of our history, our trinity was freedom, reason, and tolerance. We thrived on the Enlightenment's encouragement to challenge tradition. What we have learned as we move further into the new century and more than 50 years as a merged tradition is the need to be the church of the open heart as well, not only the open mind. That small circle of balance that allows us to stretch out far and wide is a function of hearts that are willing to risk and to love, as the Reverend Tandeka puts it, beyond belief. We are learning that balance is as much a function of courage as it is of thought, if not more so. And courage is a capacity of the heart. As long as it is open to mystery, to awe, to gratitude, to each other, we are saved. We can know that as we turn into whatever wind is blowing, we will feel it in both ears and find our balance. So then, why not dance?